this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 49 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. This is Kenny. Aaron happens to be out of town this week, but...
Slacker.
In tonight's episode, we talk about one tough wild loss, a few good wins, some well-deserved points, and in the studio with me is Jive.
Hey, hey!
We have the Meat Bees back.
Finally. Sorry, guys. I've been really busy this year. So
and far. We have a special guest, Adam from Wild Colonial Boys.
What's going on? Hey. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Nice to have you.
He's a Penguins fan. But
wait a minute.
We'll forgive him for that tonight.
Accident of birth.
Maybe.
So before we get into things, we'd just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter at @3 in the box. And Jive. So, Wild won 3 out of 4 this week, taking one road loss, tough loss against New York, but they got some well-deserved points.
Tough to say the least.
Absolutely. It was kind of ugly.
Yeah. That was horribly, horribly disappointing watching that happen.
But, they got some good wins in there also. I mean, a couple of good home wins against some tough teams. We got a good road win against Boston.
You can never argue with points this early in the season.
No, absolutely not.
When it comes down to the end of the season, we'll be glad we had those.
So one of the biggest killers, I guess, right now is their power play. Absolutely horrendous. I mean, they've gone 0-24. I mean, our team's going to start taking penalties right now just to keep the Wild from scoring against them.
It would probably keep the score low for the Wild. What can they do? I mean,
Yo's rearranged lines. He's got the veterans and he's got the young guys. But I mean, come on. I mean, what's going on here? Why can't they put a puck in the net?
Gentlemen. Okay, first I got to bring up. We've had some very good looks. Regardless, I know it's been a while since
there have
been on,
good chances.
If for nothing else.
I saw some very good looks at the bar the other night, but you know what? I didn't get laid.
Point, but eventually you will. And this is the same thing, however. If you look at Saturday night's game, when Howla did the on the 5-on-3 against the Wild, had the breakaway on the penalty kill, he actually just barely got blocked. I don't think there's any difference on the power play than on the penalty kill. They are cycling the puck better than they have in a long time. The passing has been a lot better across the board.
You want to know what? The penalty kill will probably get a goal before the power play.
Well, I'll stand behind that statement. Jive, I totally agree with you there.
Actually, it has, because they've already got a shorthanded goal.
Look at that. See?
Our
penalty kill is playing better than our power play.
And it's basically the same skaters. Give them a couple of minutes. I think they'll actually be doing fine on that. I do think they're struggling, but they will be finding the twine very soon.
It's a tough road. And we're going to get into this later, but New York, they had 10 minutes worth of power play against them going from period to period. And
right.
They couldn't hit the back of the net to save their lives.
Yeah. And I mean, we can get right into that, The goons of New York, late in the first period there, Chris Kreider from New York, he went and took a run at Brodin, sent him flying face first into the boards. Then later on in the second period, Holla takes a very cheap elbow.
This
from
is
John
true.
Moore.
And, we can discuss John Moore coming up.
Yeah. So, it was a very, a cheap affair playing against New York there. I don't. I do like a physical brand of hockey.
Competitive violence. That's why you're here.
Right. I do like a physical brand of hockey, but I like it clean physical.
It was pretty ugly against New York.
Bad hits are going to happen. I'm just going to say that. And I know there's going to be some cheekiness. Obviously, we still have Matt Cook in the lineup. We're going to have to deal with the same crap of something heated. Heatedness will happen, and there will be a cheap shot that gets thrown by one of the Wild members, and it's going to be the same thing.
Here's the thing with Matt Cook, and I agree with you. We do have Matt Cook in the lineup, but Matt Cook has also cleaned up his game. I think he's been more of a scapegoat for referees to take stuff out on.
Listen to last season. Oh, wait. Even in our tail end report, when we picked up Matt Cook, I was saying those exact same words.
Where'd you pick him up from?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh picked him up from the Avalanche, unless I'm solely mistaken.
Yes. He was on the Pens for three seasons, if not four. And
right around, because he was last with the Avalanche when we faced them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Right, right. So. And that was the thing coming to Pittsburgh. It's the exact same thing what you guys are talking about. And people are talking, oh, Matt Cook, blah, 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 blah. He was a very clean player in Pittsburgh. The only real thing that he got into in Pittsburgh was a completely unfortunate incident that he was not even to blame for. He unfortunately inadvertently cut the Achilles tendon of what's his name, Carlson, Eric Carlson,
yeah.
The Ottawa defender, and people were up in arms because it was Matt Cook. And to your point, Kenny, talking about the referees and how he's going to draw more attention, he did because he's Matt Cook and because of his past. But honestly, after three or four seasons in Pittsburgh, I thought he was a reformed player and not the agitator that he had been in the past.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We're all in the same seat on this one.
I said the same thing about him when the Wild were picking him up and people going, okay, you're going to have this evil guy that's been a dirty pool player for... No, it's not that. He's actually cleaned up his game. He's been skating well.
That stuff happened
and
a long
playing
time
clean.
Ago.
And he did have a bad hit in the playoffs last year for the Wild, which was a bad hit, and he instantly apologized, and it was dirty pool.
We had beat that horse dead last playoffs.
Point, but...
What were the repercussions when he was in Pittsburgh when that happened?
It was all just media hype. It was people in the media. It was the Ottawa coaching staff and the Ottawa ownership, and the Ottawa ownership is sort of akin to, what's his name, the nut job from the Colts. Irsay. So you know, he's a big social media guy, big, you know, firebrand kind of likes to stir the pot kind of thing. Yeah. And so there weren't any actual repercussions because there shouldn't have been. It was an accident. It was a skate cut.
Okay.
You know, they happened. They were coming into the corner, and Cook was in off of it. His momentum was, you know, he was falling backwards, and he kicked out a skate to get. You know,
trying to catch himself. Yeah.
As Carlson was coming in from the left to you know, take the puck.
Yeah.
And it was just it was an accident, and it was nothing but an accident. But you know, it's media hype. They got to fill.
Yeah.
They got to fill pages. They've got to get the page views
and Dirty Pool previously will actually make it worse.
Well, yeah. There you go. There you go.
Ultimately,
violence sells.
There you go. I mean, well, that's hockey. That's hockey. And as to your point earlier, Jive, when you talked about liking a physical brand hockey, I do too. Absolutely. My issue with the people that don't want fighting to have a place in the NHL, I give you as exhibit one, is the Rangers' performance against the Wild.
Oh,
I only saw the headline, or rather the replay videos. But I mean, that's the kind of thing you can expect if they try to curtail the fighting and the place of the big enforcers in the sport is the sticks are going to come up, the cheap shots are going to happen, and your stars are going to be injured.
Exactly. You put an enforcer in place out there, and some of that stuff might have been a little bit more tamed down.
I've been a big proponent for an enforcer. I've made my point known. I think the only one out of all of us that has not been has been Aaron, who's not here to say his piece right now.
Well, let's jump on him then.
Hey, Aaron, you see what happens when we don't have an enforcer? Okay, cheers to the enforcer's role and doing their job.
Now, that having been said, do I believe that there's a role on a team with for just an enforcer who offers nothing else? No, they still have to be able to contribute
to
the offense.
They still need to play.
And they have to play, and they have to be able to shoot the puck and score. But that player exists. Those guys, you know, do make...
You know, and right now the Wild are sitting at a spot where literally our only enforcer is Foligno.
Right.
And
he was... wasn't he out that night anyways?
Yeah, he was. So. And I think his first NHL fight was against the Kings against, was it Carter, I believe?
Yeah, I believe you're right. I believe it was Carter that he had.
Erickson.
Erickson, there you go.
Erickson. Really?
Carter's ours.
Well, there's a Carter on LA, too.
All right.
But, you know.
He's not a goon, though.
No, he's not. You know, and he's
Point,
a,
sorry.
He's a big kid. You know, and he's willing to drop the gloves, but he's not an enforcer per se. So
no,
I mean,
that job is gone. That era is over, where you can take up a roster spot with a guy who sits on the bench until, you know,
which is kind of funny because a former Minnesota Wild, John Scott, just got suspended for 2 games. I don't know if you guys saw the headline for that.
I didn't catch that one.
He got suspended for 2 games for coming off the bench. Legally coming off the bench, but basically going to start a fight right away.
Making a beeline.
Instantly dropping the gloves.
Yep.
Absolutely. And he ended up getting suspended 2 games for it by the NHLPA, or the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay, so we already have started talking about the whole New York goon side of it, obviously. Yeah. What, do we have any more on that or no? Anything else we got to talk about on New York just being goons on us?
I hate the Rangers. They're goons.
Yeah.
I said it.
I think we're all pretty much on the same page, even from a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're our division rivals. They knocked us out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
We were up 3-1 and ended up losing in 7 to the stupid Rangers.
You know,
I lost $100 on that one. Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Well, yeah. There's no way to prove it. It's just internet radio. So,
You know, it was pretty ugly. The Wild ended up taking 2 5-minute majors from the end of the first going into the second. I think there was like 4.5 minutes, and then they score in between the 2 5-minute majors because they can't score in the power play. I mean, what the hell?
Well, they haven't yet. No. We don't know if they can because they haven't done it.
Right. They haven't.
They might
anything.
Be able to. They just haven't, you know.
But, you know, and then they get another 5-minute major with the hit to the head on Holla. I mean, that was just an absolutely ugly hit.
And the I really do believe, though, the power plays are going to even themselves out. I don't think that you should be too worrisome about it, because when they do come, they're going to come fast and they're going to come furious.
We can only hope.
It is a very, very narrow sample size so far. How many games have the Wild played?
6? 8? 7?
1/8 of the season?
Yeah.
Well, the Pens have played 8, so most teams, I think, have played 8 to 10, so it must be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's actually 8. They've played 8 games, so it's a 10th of the season, almost.
Yeah, we're getting there.
All right, and unless I'm so mistaken, that's the one that was the heartbreaker. That we lost in the third period.
Yeah, well, let's. Why don't we move into that, Josh?
Well, exactly what I'm trying to do there, Kenny. And yeah, so Kemper.
I like the way you guys segue things on this show.
We make sure everybody's clear and we know where we're going. Come on. Kemper obviously ended up letting in 5 goals in the third period.
In 1 period.
After having the lead.
Well, did Kemper, was he the only one that let in those goals, or did the defense have something to do with it?
The defense kind of collapsed.
We'll be getting to that. I just what happened? I mean, seriously, I didn't get to actually see that. I was bartending at the time, so I only got to see plays here and there and just kept looking up going, how is this happening? I know the skaters were getting down and dirty. I know we had injuries. I know we didn't have the forechecking we normally have. But is this in... We used to be a goalie farm team. We know that. Like, everybody used to take all our prospects up until about 3 years ago. Every single prospect moved on to a different team that was a cup contender from our minor league affiliate. Are we actually looking at just the shift from the East Coast to the West Coast style? Are we looking at the defensive pinch style
our goalie
actually
cannot
helping?
Stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
Exactly. I mean, I'm looking at Ken Burke going, you remind me of Manny Fernandez, just without as much stopping power as Manny had.
Yeah, but what you have to look at, though, is how many periods of shutout hockey did Kemper put up already this season?
You know
season?
What? Here, okay.
Six and a half to begin with.
So
and then.
Just like I was talking about with the power play, goalies don't stay with a 999
goals against.
Yeah, goals against average. You know, it just doesn't stay like that. Things end up evening themselves back out because everybody is human.
Jive, I agree with you, but when he gives up more goals in one period than he has all season long.
Yeah, but you're putting that all on him purely. And now, again, right. I didn't see the game because it was the Wild, and who wants to watch that?
Hey,
but, hey,
oh,
no.
Watch it.
You know, I played hockey. I still play hockey, and you know, we were always taught that you win and lose as a team, and it's a defensive effort. It's not just a goalie.
It's absolutely.
You know, six guys, and is that a contributing factor? Or you guys just, you're kind of hanging them out to dry, and I'm curious, is that deserved?
The same reason I started the question with, okay, is this still part of the change on trying to be a more offensive team as opposed to the pinch defense that Lemaire had us going with for the first?
No, we definitely don't. We have...
You've had two or three coaches since Jacques Lemaire, though, right?
One of them lasted a single season. Right. Two coaches. One of them lasted a single season.
Ouch.
Yeah, they didn't even give him a chance to try and change
the
style.
He was a Minnesota boy, too, Todd Richards, and they really didn't give him much shot. Yeah. Why? Because they had to get a guy that knew what he was doing.
Well, and
so they
sent him back
old,
to Pittsburgh.
They took an
and
old assistant coach
he's doing
from
great
Pittsburgh,
for you, isn't
Mike
he?
Yo. Mike Yo
well,
was from the Pittsburgh
and
coach.
Todd
and
Richards
he
was as
he
well.
He was the coach of the baby Pens, too.
Todd Richards was for the Penguins as well. Like, we can't deny that. Richards was part of the Penguin system as well. I still think
are you guys trying to rope in like some common theme here?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we got a Pens fan in the house tonight.
Right.
So
you guys are like just drawing right into them, like we're like some wannabe Pens here or something.
You know,
we'll get to actually ripping on him in a second.
Rip on him. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Oh,
this is gonna be fun.
The one thing I love to hate the most is the Penguins. I mean, that stems back to '91.
Yeah, fair.
Just because you're not them doesn't mean you have to hate them.
Anyway, is it because of the change in? I mean, some of it does have to do with the change in play, obviously.
Well, okay, part of it does. I mean, and Adam brought up a very valid point of is it just the goalie or is it the defense as well? You know, it's a six-man squad out there.
Team sport,
and that's a very valid point. The problem that I see is he's been opening up his five hole a lot lately, and a lot of the goals that have been coming in it's been from him not collapsing like he should.
And that's what I must say. There were probably a couple of what I would classify as weak goals.
Absolutely.
That were afforded to the Rangers there in that third period.
I just have to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to throw in here. I hate to, you know, let reality get in the way of a good story, but you realize Darcy Kemper is fifth in the league in goals against right now, and he's played six games. Everyone above him has only played two games, right?
This is
so
true.
He has a 1.51 goals against average.
Oh, yeah. And I am not.
That's pretty damn good.
I hear you. I'm not going to rip on Kemper right now. I'm glad to have him in the net. A lot better than the old man that's behind him.
Who is behind him?
Backstrom.
Oh, right.
Oh, wait, Harding's not back yet?
Jesus. No, Harding kicked the wall.
Yeah. No, I know. I thought he was hopefully back by now. It's just a foot that should heal in 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I don't know if when his foot heals, if he will be rejoining the squad.
Once again, going back for the whole MS thing.
I still want Briz.
You guys don't still have crazy Briz Galov. I was just
going to
ask
I want Briz
I want Briz back. But no, Humangus Big did not join us back. He got asked to training camp and did not join us.
Well, first sane thing he's ever done, I guess.
Call me crazy, but I'm gonna call it here now. We'll see Briz again this season.
I hope so.
We will see him.
Pretty sure. But
is he nowhere? No one picked him up?
Nobody picked him up yet.
Ultimately,
he's relaxing on the beach.
To be fair, the Wild did attempt to. They kept asking him to come to training camp, and he just kind of blew it off and got spacey. Apparently, the Russian Ruger Rallis strain of the Mary Jane is good.
okay.
And yeah, he just decided to stay home. But yeah, that being said, I still think that's our weakest position. And thank you for bringing up the point, because I did actually, part of it is we're playing less defensive and we're opening things up more for offensive opportunities as the Wild. And as an outside perspective, it's nice for you to actually bring that up.
Well, I was just making stuff up just to, you know,
no,
be
but
contributive.
to be fair,
playing
to be
the
fair,
devil's
it's exactly
over
what's,
there.
It's exactly what's going on. He did, however, turn into a sieve in the third period on that game.
Oh, it was horrible.
And we don't have the depth anymore in Coley, especially in the farm teams.
Is it possible that all of the physical play that the Rangers brought to the table shook
just
the Wild to the point where they were up their game?
Totally.
And
maybe that worked. Maybe you'll see more of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I mean, the nice thing that I like to see is that after Holla got knocked out, you had Parisi going to get his stitches done. Ugly stitch job too. I mean, it
right.
looked beautiful.
Hey, he's not, you know, the guy's not stitching, you know, crafts for grandma.
No,
he's
no, no.
He's trying to do it in 4 minutes or less.
It looked like some pretty
so
decent cross stitch going on there.
and you know, Parisi's like, just make me stop bleeding. I want to get back out there.
Right. Yeah. So we're looking at
and Brodin came back out too, and I'm thinking a lot of that has to do with when Holla took that hit to the head, and he comes back. You got three guys sitting in the locker room right now going,
right,
holy crap, they're beating the hell out
so
of us.
So you're pretty much down, you know, one line's worth of players. I know Brodin's
a defenseman,
but I mean, you're short basically a whole line there, you know?
I mean, come on, when you got three guys sitting in the locker room going, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? You know, those guys are like, you know what, screw these guys. We got to go score some goals. We got to make it hurt.
Right.
Well, and just to finish that one off, it was just possibly the most the most disappointing loss I've seen from the Wild, just because we were ahead and then just lost it entirely in the third period.
It was pretty disappointing. I'm not going to argue that. You know, and it is what it is. But we came back the next night, and we played solid against Boston.
And won against them.
So,
that said, why don't we talk about some of our production?
Well, yeah, with that, we got, you know, our top line. We got four solid lines right now.
Four.
Finally.
Four. Four Finally. Solid lines.
When everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
That is conditional.
And, everybody's not being elbowed.
We have a very, very solid top line with Granlund, Parisi, and Pommaville. We finally at the point of a cup-deserving team actually having this depth.
You just said you had one line depth.
No, four.
No, no,
he
no,
said
no,
four.
No.
He said four lines.
I said four lines.
He said four solid lines. And I'll actually stand
behind
him on that one.
Nobody deserves the cup. You have to go win the cup.
Well, there is that.
Never having had that happen here, I'm sure you're not aware of what has to happen.
Yeah, you know what happened last time we were in contention? Pittsburgh.
On that point, that was the year I moved here. Was the year
91?
That the North Stars. Let me tell you. So Jive sitting on my left, fair listeners, is wearing a Brian Bellows jersey.
There we go.
The best thing on the internet. Go to YouTube and look up the Brian Bellows video where the Penguins players are jeering him from their bench. He's lining up for a faceoff right in front of the Pens bench, and they're all over him, and it's great. Bellows, get off the ice, you pussy! It's phenomenal. Just like,
I mean. Don't get me wrong, that's great, but if you're going to actually talk the old school Stars, you do have to pull up, say, the North Stars jumping over before they put glass behind the bench and beating the shit out of the Chicago fans because of the Chicago fans trying to pick fights with them. They finally jumped the back edge of the bench and beat the snot out of them. That was, what, 86, I believe, and that was another playoff year, cup year?
86 or 87.
It was, 86 or 85 is what I was thinking, but right in that time frame, and that was more a divisional rivalry going to play for the cup.
Sure.
So Adam, you moved here in 91.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that year, I was playing Little League Baseball. Our coach happened to be from Pittsburgh.
Oh, very good.
So
you must have had a very good team.
Oh God, our colors were actually the colors of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, it was the black and gold and
sure.
And
so you went 2-80 that year?
I think we were 0-10.
Okay.
But that's what really pissed me off the most about Pittsburgh was the fact that, you know, we had this bet going on as we're starting off our playoff run or our whatever. And you got Pittsburgh. So we bet against the coach going, hey, so Pittsburgh wins and we'll run extra laps. North Stars win. You got to run laps with us. Yeah, we ended up running extra laps the rest of the year.
Sure. Well, I guess it didn't even make you any better baseball players. But
no, not really.
That's good. Yeah, that was I didn't make a lot of friends that first year, walking around the school in a Penguins T-shirt.
You were still you were still sporting the T-shirt.
You know, I mean,
huh?
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's all my extended family's in Pittsburgh. I have a brother who lives in Pittsburgh now, and you know, that's kind of, you know, it's not like it went away. We go back all the time, so it's not like I'm sitting here having lived here for 23 years or whatever, and saying, you know, I'm still, because this is my team, this is my home, this is my.
So you're saying we can't convert you here?
No. I played hockey in the state of Minnesota.
I thought we were going to baptize you with the ice of the Wild here. You know,
I did. I sang the national anthem in a Wild game once, though.
Nice.
That was cool. I had a Penguins jersey on underneath my.
Oh. Can understand though.
Right.
It's okay.
You know, this is why we like having our guests on.
Exactly.
A little different opinion on other than us being, you know.
Yeah, we got to keep you down to earth here.
Okay. Oh, really? Is that what it's
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely.
Well, no, fair enough. And I
Sky's
agree with that.
Sky's the limit, but, Minnesota bandwagon, you know.
The little bit that you've watched the Wild Den of, you know, the 3 minutes I'm assuming you've paid attention to before they play Pittsburgh, what would you say is their downfall? In coming up to
goaltending.
A cup contention.
Right now, honestly, it's the power play. They've scored nothing on the power play.
So neither of the Wild.
I'm talking about the Wild's power
play. Coming down through
the
season.
The Pens' power play is the best in the league right now.
Yeah, no, but coming down through the season, what do you think is more important? What's your biggest issue that you think they will have to be a contender against
your
team?
When you say they, you're talking about
the Wild against your team. What like, assuming your team's going to make it to play for the Cup. And they're going to face the Wild. What do you think, like them versus the Wild?
No,
what do you think is going to be the issue that's going to try and hold the Wild back or cause them to lose against the Pens when they play for the Cup?
History. They're a young team. They haven't been there before. They have a very young coach. I would say that will, in the playoffs, in a deep run to the playoffs, not necessarily automatically become a liability, but that's something that might, you know, crop up. The fact that they haven't been there before. You know,
gentlemen, who's next?
How are
Where's that beer that you were gonna get me? That
oh, I'm sorry. This one, I thought you said
cheers.
You were good.
No, I raised my hand.
Yeah, we like to drink beer when we're.
Cheers,
Kenny. To answer the same question,
I'm an Irish musician. After all, I have to drink a beer while we do this, right?
Well, that's kind of like, you know.
What is that noise?
That's the
I need
beers.
A beer noise. So, Kenny. What do you think is the big thing that's going to be?
So, how is Pittsburgh special teams doing right now?
Their power play is the best in the league.
I mean, the Wild have a pretty killer power penalty
kill.
Going
they
on.
Do, which will make it an interesting matchup. The Pittsburgh penalty kill is only 81.8% right now.
That's all right. The Wild's
is 90.9%. So it should be fun to see the league's best power play against the top three penalty kill in the
definitely.
League. That's so, a nice to see special teams like that is always fun to watch.
All right.
Pittsburgh's power play is deadly. I'm very excited to see how that stacks up.
Well, exactly. And like you said, the Wild are sitting in the top three there with their penalty kill. So, I mean, it kind of is like the true test, you know, when you
penalty
pit the best against the best.
Yeah.
Really?
Pittsburgh had a hell of a game last night. I mean, they just demolished New Jersey.
Well, to be fair, they didn't demolish them all the way through. They ended up with a 5-goal win, 8-3 over the Devils, who are another
still New Jersey,
another divisional thing. Yeah, but it's a division game, and it's in
true.
And with the reshuffling, it's maybe not as big a thing. And they're both in the quote-unquote metropolitan division with like 100
Metro.
Other teams.
You guys are metros.
But they used to be, you know.
Oh, well, with Crosby, I mean, you have to be metro.
Oh, here we go.
Metrosexual.
Here we go. Oh, my God. Crosby is the best player on the planet. There's no debating that. That's all I'm saying about that.
Cindy Brady is
If
yeah,
you
a
guys,
great skater.
If they, he, if somehow
she's a great skater. She's a great skater.
Only time.
If somehow Sidney Crosby was traded to the Wild tomorrow, you all three of you would be running out to buy your jerseys, and you'd be so excited. And all this Cindy Brady.
Actually,
would,
you're
would
totally wrong on my side.
We know
of
that.
That
Cindy's not coming.
I might be looking good in here.
This
toilet
is so
appeal.
Two things. Two
I
things.
Hear this all
two
the
things.
Time.
Adam, I have always said, especially since the first concussion issue, that he's turning
well, yours?
In, no, Cindy Brady's. Cindy Brady's. that he's going to be streaky and going to go off quite a bit. And
streaky?
I do think he's a great player. No,
he's
he produces that.
As
no, no, no. He's
when
not
he's on
streaky.
The ice. When he's on the ice. I'm sorry. I should. I didn't
yeah,
mean
when he's
streaky.
On the ice, he's playing
when
well
he's
and
on
scoring.
On the ice, he's playing amazing.
You got what,
but
two goals and an assist last night?
He yes.
is getting fairly injury prone and having the concussion.
What are you talking
syndromes.
About? That doesn't
on
make any sense.
On top of that, I will never have a jersey lettered until the Wild take the cup.
That's the, I agree with you on that one. I agree. Whose I, phone is
that's
that?
Not
you're
mine.
Interrupting
Mine's
my
off.
Thing.
But I will never have a jersey. So no, thing. I would not be running out to buy a Cindy Brady jersey.
No, that is absolutely ridiculous.
I will
be.
Not. I will not.
It's on the floor. I don't know what to tell you.
Bother to buy a lettered jersey.
Cindy, the streaky, oft-injured Cindy Crosby. Hold
I didn't
on,
mean
hold on,
streaky.
Let me finish. Let
I
me
do
finish.
Apologize for streaky. I did not mean to say streaky. I meant injured, and he will
You're
be
not
injury
letting me finish.
Prone.
He's not injury myself. Prone. He played 80 of 82 games last season.
Last year, yes.
Okay.
Finally. Previous year, he got, what, two games in? No, he got six games
played
in, 36 and then was
the
out
year before that.
For another 4 months.
Okay, then that happens. He got hit in the face with a puck. With a slap shot.
And that
shot.
Was the
That's...
second time he was out for the year. But
well,
you're
he
right.
Got a block
you're right.
Shot
I'm
for
saying,
it.
Yeah, he got a block shot for the six teeth lost. But I'm just saying he will play at that level and he will block the shots and he will take the injuries. And
your only hope is that he's not on the ice.
And if you're saying, that I would be running out to buy a jersey, I'm telling you, you're wrong. One,
and again, I agree
wrong.
With you there because
and
I think
two,
that
because
every time I buy one, then the guy goes, you know, in free agency and he's gone.
Yeah,
so
and
so you're not,
out
so you're not buying
$200. I have one already.
Oh, if he was coming
one.
To the Wild, if he was coming to the Wild,
my lovely wife bought it for me for See? My birthday one nice. Year.
He nice. Would be a free agent or on a really wicked trade that we never should have made, which hopefully Fletcher.
I'm just
do.
Saying. That I hear this the Cindy thing and that you know that happens all the time. All I'm saying is. I guarantee you, you will all be so excited if he somehow, if something happened in the world, I'm not saying it's a realistic thing because obviously it's not. He will retire a Penguin. But if he were coming to the Wild, you'd all be his biggest fans. And you cannot say that any different. Of course you
Actually,
would be.
Actually, I can.
Of course you would be.
Well, we took Cook in.
Well, that's a different thing, but
I'll
I mean,
say
come
this.
On.
And what I'd rather see, if Sidney Crosby, and I'll be respectful enough to say that right now, if he was going to move, I'd prefer to see him move to one of the Canadian market teams where he can play in front of his countrymen. I'd rather see that, and I'd respect that more than him moving to the Wild.
Can I add some of the cracks?
Did he get Wild games in Canada?
I will admit, if he did come to the Wild.
Here we go, Bellows.
just as I became a fan in a separate sport, Vikings.
Brett Favre. He's going to bring up the Brett Favre trade.
Well, hey, when Favre
That's what
came
you were
here,
basically bringing
he
up.
Was, he was our arch enemy when he was on the other side of the border. But once he made his way over here, I mean, he became everybody's favorite.
Well, Jive,
you know?
I respect your consistency and your honesty.
And, you know, I won't lie.
Hey,
you know?
We're Minnesota. We're just trying to win a championship somewhere.
Yeah, and, well, you know.
And really what it all boils down to anyways is it's all just a business anyways.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So these pieces are moving this way and that way all the time. It, you know, hockey isn't quite as bad as some of the other sports with the people shuffling around for money, but it happens.
Well, and
so,
all I was trying to say
well,
is...
Well, we're starting to get it here now, though.
A little bit, yeah.
Honor, I like I said, I would respect the honor of him moving to a Canadian team.
You guys like Vanek, right? Vanek,
yeah, he's the Golden Gopher. Not, you know. So yeah, he's coming home.
So
Vanek,
Josh,
Tominville, Parise,
coming home, you know. Coming home. Like I said, I'd rather see Crosby move to a Canadian team if he's going to leave the Penguins.
That doesn't make any sense.
So I'd rather have him go home where he's won gold medals for in the Olympics.
Yes, Josh is petitioning to deport Cindy Crosby.
Deport that son of a bitch. Make him play for a Canadian team.
That's going to be your only hope if it happens before Tuesday.
No, you get what I'm saying.
We're close enough to the border. We might be able to chuck him over.
I mean, more likely to buy a Vancouver Canucks Sidney Crosby jersey.
Hey, so,
wow.
So, or an Ottawa Senators Sidney Crosby jersey.
Josh, speaking of Vanek.
Yes. Oh, Vanek. Okay, so he's been underproducing. We've played him quite a bit. He's one of our top lines. He is 5 points on the season, all on assists. He is underproducing for what we picked him up for. He's being a little streaky. We know he's a streaky player. He is actually a streaky player, not... I didn't mean to insult Cindy Brady, but...
Oh, wow.
Goodness. Vanek is a streaky player, and he's known for it. He's got 5 assists, though, so he's at least putting points up on the board. Is he going to be the new Koivu for the season and underproduce?
Well, I mean, Koivu definitely underproduces for what he's paid, but... I mean,
is he worth the ticket value?
I don't think so. I'm hoping he will be, but I don't think, obviously with Parisi and Pominville pulling for him to get him in, you got Suter who played for Wisconsin. I mean, we're getting quite the...
We've got the top of the old school WCHA.
We do. But you know what? And that WCHA had won championships. Are they going to win a cup?
That's what it comes down to. I mean, we're looking at a bunch of Fighting Sioux, a bunch of Golden Gophers, a couple of Badger or a Badger, St. Cloud State.
It's all
coming together in theory. They all have played with each other since they were kids. But Vanek is streaky. Is he going to start finding the twine, or is he going to turn into an assist leader?
Here's what I'm going to say. Once the power play or something starts clicking, hopefully he'll be a piece of that. Currently right now, I mean, you've got Granny Parisi and Pominville on the top line.
Our
second line doesn't look too bad, but I mean, I've discussed it before. I don't think Koivu is performing like we want Koivu to perform.
The way I phrased the question was, Koivu's getting overpaid. Is Vanek doing the same thing? I didn't church that up at all.
It's like, Captain K. Well,
and this is the thing, is I think that Vanek, given some solid line mates, will produce. That said, if you're getting paid that kind of money, you should be maybe a big piece of that line producing. He has produced a few assists here so far. Hasn't found the back of the net. He hasn't even really shot the puck that much in the first few games here of the season. That said, early in the season, it's a long season from here. I don't think that we should all fret and worry too much just yet. Because I'll take it back to what I was saying earlier about like the law of averages and us all being human. You saw Kemper, he came back down to earth from all of his shutouts and one goal games, and he came back down to bring his goals against average back. Still, he's up on top, but brought it back a little bit more down to earth. And just like our power play, the ship will right itself.
All right.
Well said, Jive.
Actually, yeah.
Wow.
Very, very well said. So, Jive, we're going into another topic, yeah. I think.
In other news, it was announced today that the repercussions of the New York game, John Moore, he's getting suspended here for 5 games now. For giving the elbow to Holla.
That was a pretty vicious elbow.
It was a very vicious elbow. Do you guys think that's you think that's fair amount of games to be given?
My thought has always been, if if you're going to knock a player out for multiple games, your suspension, you should not be allowed back until that player is cleared to come back.
So then,
and then your suspension starts.
By that logic, injuries are what drive suspensions. Do you think that's fair or reasonable? Shouldn't it be more to the point what he did versus what happened as a result of what he did?
I got to agree with you. It's about the action. It's not about what the outcome was.
If Howla hadn't have gotten knocked out for two games, would he have then received a lesser suspension or a greater one because he injured the player? I don't know where you want to go.
The big argument, of course, is that look at a consistent suspension but have it start at the point that the player is able to get back on the ice.
That's an outside-the-box idea. I kind of like it.
So, all of a sudden, you get a hit like that. The player's out for two games. The suspension, like the five-game or three-game suspension, doesn't even start till that player gets back and skating on the ice.
I could see gamesmanship happening late in the season, though. If you knock a fourth-liner out, one of your better players, they're going to wait to bring the fourth-liner back until you're facing that team in the playoffs or something, and then they start serving their suspension.
You can see some of that, but obviously that's where you have neutral medical checking it.
Why should one player be allowed back sooner for a cheap shot to the head when the other player is still out because of what
have you?
You
have to say it's severe enough to say the guy gets 5 games, 10 games, 20 games, whatever it is, regardless of the injury sustained by the player that was the victim of the hit.
And sure. To be fair, Adam,
you have to make sure that the suspension is severe enough at the outset. And that's the problem the NHL and their suspensions setup is very
right.
They seem to base it on injuries, and I don't like that.
They have a new head of suspensions. What's his name now?
Shanahan.
No, Shanahan's gone.
No, he's gone, and he was replaced. That's right. After
they do have a new player's safety,
right?
What have you?
But
who's dealing with the suspensions now?
And Adam, to be fair, a lot of this comes from when we were discussing way back in the Fargo, the Bertuzzi hit.
That wow, you guys go back that far?
We have,
yeah.
Wow.
And it does come back from that. And it was postseason of that year that we started.
But
and
Bertuzzi should have
the
been
Bertuzzi
done.
Hit, and Bertuzzi getting brought back in due to, it wasn't the Bertuzzi hit that we went back to. It's when we started when Gretzky made an argument to get the NHL ban lifted on Bertuzzi so that he could play for Team Canada.
Well,
because he was removed from the NHL entirely, but he couldn't play for Team Canada.
Sports are the ultimate meritocracy. They don't really care what you've done or who you are. If you can contribute to the team, somebody's going to argue that you should be on the team.
This argument stems from until the person can get back on the ice. The suspension doesn't even start. You're already suspended until they can step back on the ice.
I hear you, but I just don't know that it's very feasible.
And what I would have to say here about like the NHL policy here is they need, you know, maybe something that's maybe a little bit more set in stone for types of, you know, like you say, actions, not for injuries.
Yeah.
But it should be, you know, if you do this.
Intentional elbow to the head, 10
yeah,
games.
You're gonna,
whatever.
Yeah,
right.
You're going to be out
five
for
games,
X amount of games.
Yeah.
I have to kind of disagree with you guys saying if there's an injury that you should be, the other player should be out for, you know, that same amount of time. What if we put that into today's judicial system and that's basically the same thing as saying, well, capital punishment, right? I mean, you kill somebody, you're gone then too, right?
Yeah. That's very Old Testament. I think we've moved beyond that, haven't we?
Right.
We're not talking religion on this show.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that that eye for an eye kind of thing is not, I don't think, a precedent that the NHL wants to set.
No, all right. But this is a very physical game played very directly. It's the only game that allows a boxing match to happen in the middle if it needs to.
Well, it's kind of tough now because you're not allowed to take your helmet off. You're not allowed to pull sweaters over heads anymore. You can't take a helmet off.
Yeah.
So with the...
It's still not tummy tackle football.
You know what? You're punching some guy in their helmet or in their mask.
if the helmet happens the to fighters come off, don't wear like the you shields. Happen to take, they if have you happen to pop your strap.
You don't have to wear a shield.
Yeah, they do.
Since when?
Last year.
This year. Half shield. This season.
Basically, right? If you hadn't played, I think it was like 6 games in the NHL, you have to wear
if
a shield.
You accidentally drag your glove and
new
pop
players
the strap,
have to wear shields.
Yeah.
And it's a grandfathered accidentally kind of thing. Drag your strap, right. Your helmet will pop off. And helmets popping off happen. We all know that. And you watch any fighter, as they're dropping their gloves, they'll drag their chin all to right. pop the strap. That's all I'm saying.
So, going back to it, is 5 games worth the fact that Holla might be out for even more?
I think he probably deserved he deserved 7, at least. I'd argue 5 was a little light.
I mean,
I'll meet you at 6.
Do I hear 4? Do I hear 4? 8?
I certainly hope that's not how they do it.
I was going to say 7 to 9, personally.
They auction off
Shanahan,
the suspensions nowadays.
Shanahan's not in there anymore, so
Shanahan
who knows?
Shanahan probably would have.
Shanaban.
The Shanabans.
I mean, realistically, you normally got, what, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, 10, and then you're talking like months.
I think it's pretty, there's no set in stone, you know, guideline.
No.
They base it, I think it's good to base it case by case, but I do think it's a bit severe to say that you injured this player, he's out for 6 weeks, ergo so are you. I don't, that right. doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Like, you know? Accidents happen, yes, and that's why, like, with the Cook thing, with the slice, there shouldn't have necessarily been a penalty. That wasn't
well there wasn't. There wasn't.
Yeah, but and therefore he didn't miss any games.
In this particular case, was 5 games enough? No, probably not.
I mean, that was an intentional elbow to the head.
I don't believe that this means that there should be, you know, a drastic overhaul of the method.
That said, I mean, we got Cook, who last year in the playoffs.
His knee on knee.
The knee on knee.
Which was a BS call because we saw it
right.
from other players.
But that said, so he gets, the guy gets injured. I can't even remember the name of the
Colorado
player. Yeah, we don't need to remember those guys anyway.
You'll see them soon enough.
Right.
I don't think until February or March, actually.
I'm pretty sure that his suspension there was for 5 games.
Yeah, you know? I think you're right.
And I don't know if I saw quite the intention, like in that, the knee-on-knee hit there for Cook, as I did with the elbow there to Holla. I think that the intention maybe should increase the amount of games for the suspension. So, yeah.
You would think that they'd take that into account.
Yeah. So
you would hope
That's where I think that, you know, maybe we should be looking at more than, you know, the 5-game suspension. Just because,
for sure,
you know, I mean, sometimes your elbow's going to fly, heat of the moment.
That's
going to happen.
Pretty intentional, though.
Right.
Well, but John Moore is no saint.
Right. No, he's not.
Yeah. So, I guess that's probably about that. So, with that, let's kind of get into the injuries. We don't really have much for updates on either Holla or Brodin.
Well, Brodin came back third period.
So Brodin did make it back into the game.
He did.
Yeah. So, but Holla is, I mean, he was still out last night as far as I understand. So,
is this going to bring Brodziak back up?
That's a good question. What about the Fontrain?
Well, Fontrain's playing, I think, third line right now.
Yeah, he's moving on up now, right?
He got 2 assists on against the Bruins, I believe. Or, no, against New York.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Other than that, Foleen was out against the Rangers.
I think he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah, so, and Ballard was also a healthy scratch. But other than that, Wilder staying fairly healthy so far.
Well, I mean, we're pretty early
into
the season.
Knock on wood, but it is early in the season, but we have seen players from other teams go down. So,
you know, and we haven't had as many games as some of these other teams. I mean, if you look at the point standings,
yeah,
where we're sitting at right now, it's pretty minimal. I mean, just because of the fact we haven't played nearly as many games as some of these other teams. Is that going to hurt the Wild later in the season?
Probably. I mean, once the season wears on and you're playing a 5-game a week schedule and other teams are playing 2 games, you're definitely going to be a little bit more worn out.
I think you had mentioned it that, you know, Pittsburgh has had so many more games right now than the Wild have.
They've both played 8 games.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh's sitting in about the same boat.
In terms of what?
Total games played.
Yeah, the exact same boat, yes. They've both.
And I think the Wild have, I believe, 2 games before they play Pittsburgh.
So do we, yeah. Yeah, so,
we're playing Tuesday of next week, so
right.
Exactly a week from today. Tonight.
Pens play the Kings tomorrow night, and then they have to play.
How do you think they're going to do against the Kings? I mean,
well, it's a road game, so not well. They don't really play well in California, in general.
Apparently, nobody does. No.
The Kings game is at home, and they have 2 home games, and then the Wild is the first of a 5-game road trip.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well,
they host the Kings, then they host the Sabres, so hopefully that's 2 wins in the bucket before we come to Minnesota.
Well, the Sabres, I'm pretty sure you got.
Yeah, any given day, but yes, I agree.
You know, the bad thing is playing out in Cali, and that's what St. Louis and the Wild are actually teaming up on right now, is trying to figure out what type of bacterial infection that they put in their visiting locker room.
Yeah, I read about that.
Like, I seriously, like, both teams have lost players. I think that's why Foligno's out right now, is some sort of bacterial infection. And the only common denominator is the fact that St. Louis and the Wild both had played Anaheim and L.A.
Has Ebola crossed the Pacific now, too?
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
Wah, wah. All right, so Kenny, what are we looking like for the Wild?
So with that, we've got some teams coming up here. We got the Sharks coming up on tomorrow. The Stars on Saturday, and then Adam's team, Pittsburgh Penguins, which is why we had him on the show tonight, coming up on Tuesday.
That's why
we have.
Thought
you
it
here.
Was my sunny disposition.
No, not quite.
All right, and insofar as the Gophers, the reason we haven't talked about them, well, they won again. All weekend, swept again, 5-2, 5-3 against Bemidji State.
The Beavers,
and yes, Kenny's favorite, the Beavers.
I love saying
and
the Beavers.
Yes,
on air.
He does. This coming up weekend, Friday night, we got St. Cloud State playing at St. Cloud State, and then home on Saturday night at Mariucci. Go and support them; they're crushing.
Right, and so. With your upcoming wrap-up of the Minnesota Wild Week there, though, Kenny, why don't we discuss the game of the week?
So, Jive, I think, did you win again last week?
Yeah, somebody's in the lead.
Yeah.
Well, we changed the scoring from last year. That
yeah,
makes
a little
it
bit.
Weird.
So, you know, Jive had the Rangers winning. Aaron had the Rangers winning. You each get a point, but Jive's still in the... in the lead.
Yeah, you can admit it.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to.
That's right.
So with that, being that I'm bottom of the totem pole, I'm really, really bottom of the totem pole. I'm going to...
Attaboy, Jive. There it is.
I am going to take the Wild Penguins game just because we got our special guest here.
Hey,
very nice.
I am special.
With 7 points total.
Bus out.
And
seven total?
Seven total goals.
Who are you taking to win?
I'm taking the Wild.
The Wild, huh? All right. Josh, how about you? Who are you taking in this one?
Well, considering it's my first time stepping up, it should be a coin toss. We should almost let the guest go first.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'll do it. I'm going to say
or not.
The Wild are going to win with 6 total goals. Adam?
I'm the special guest. I am the chooser. I get to choose.
The decider?
Yeah.
I'm the decider. It's kind of like Lutz on that episode of 30 Rock. Where
I'm
going to
guess you're gonna pick the Wild, aren't you?
I am not. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I will say that the Penguins do have a pretty good record from my memories at the Excel Center, and I think they're going to win. I picked 11 total goals.
That's a pretty high goal.
Because number one, let me explain it. Number one, they have a great power play, like I said. Number two, I think their defense isn't that great. I think they'll give up some goals too. And number three, these are all just shots in the dark anyway, so I thought, why not make it fun? 11 goals.
I actually took it 11 goals as a sign of respect. Because you're like, it's going to be a really high-scoring game.
Yeah, 6-5 Pens win.
And Jive, where are you sitting at?
Me, I'm going to, I got to go with our guest here.
Hey, you're a good man, Jive.
I'm going to go with the Pens winning. I don't know that it's going to be that high-scoring of an affair. While they'll be back here on their home ice, I think that our goaltending will step up to the podium and play well that night.
Who's going to be in net that night?
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to be
Kemper.
So,
he's done great, giving up 5 goals in one period against the Rangers.
He plays it loose.
You're going to base it all on one period.
Right. He plays it loose. As much as I'm nervous
Kemper's going to win, he's going to lose like 5 games the entire season, and Kenny's still going to be like that. Third period, he gave up 5 goals.
I'm not letting it down, man. I'm not letting it down.
I'm going to go with the Pens winning. I'll take them with a little bit lower scoring game than our guest is anticipated here. I'll with the total points of 4. So
Jive, you think that's going to be the Wild's first home loss?
I do.
You think it'll be 3-1 Pens or 4-0 Pens?
3-1. There'll be no shutout.
I know.
Do you think it'll be an empty netter? Empty netter at the end?
I doubt it.
Okay. So 3 legitimate Pens goals.
Yep.
I like it.
And then the Wild trying to scrape back into the game at the end.
You couldn't say empty netter even, Jive. Damn it.
All right. So, when I'm not live tweeting the Wild games through 3 in the box, that's at the number 3 in the box. On Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at RottenK999. And lastly, a blatant plug for my band Pinrot. You should check us out. You should check out Wild Colonial Boys with our special guest.
Who are they? We've not actually mentioned them until now.
We have.
Well, okay. How about we let him announce that? Let's you name the members of Pinrot off real quick.
So that'd basically be myself, Kenny, Aaron, who is in Vegas right now, and then Jive, who's sitting across the table from me.
All right, so basically most of the normal hosts of the show.
Absolutely.
All right.
Follow us on Twitter, though.
Let's ask Adam. What about the Wild Colonial Boys?
Well, that's my band. The Wild Colonial Boys plays Celtic rock, Irish rock, and we can be found online, Wild Colonial Boys, BHOYS, wildcolonialbhois.com, Facebook, Wild Colonial Boys, and Twitter, at WCBoys, BHOYS again. And I hope all you listeners check us out. I like hockey, but I love music even more.
Well, so. And you're a great band, but right who's on. Your normal tech geek that you have to yell at and flog to get to do whatever you need done for audio?
The question, you? Why am I here? Well, our front of house engineer, the guy that does all our sound and makes sure that we sound great to our large audiences, is Kenny here, and he invited me on the show. So thank you, Kenny, for
having
me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming out, Adam.
You're very welcome.
Half the reason for the crappy sound on our podcast.
I don't deal with the audio down here.
I have to say my in-ears sound better than this, so that's good.
Nice.
All right. And I'm Jive. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter, at Jive Midnight. And as Kenny mentioned, you catch me once in a while hanging out with these guys, jamming with the Pinrot jam. But yeah, Josh?
Yeah, okay, this is the Meat Beast, and happy to finally be back on 3 in the Box. It's been far too long, and you can follow me on facebook.com/TheMeatBeast to find random recipes. The wings we're eating right now in studio came off of a recipe I put online on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and Adam, thank you again.
Hey, guys, thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Good episode, everyone.
Sláinte, Goma.
Sláinte.